Father, Lord, I want to thank you for life. Thank you, dear God, that you've given us now the privilege to be together once again. Lord, I realize that one day it'll be our last day. But Lord, until then, Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us, Lord, to be where you want us to be, doing what you want us to do. We thank you for instruction from your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit being our teacher. Lord, to help us to know what we ought to be doing for you until you come. Now, Lord, as we give instruction today from your word, it's not us, but it's your word. And God, I pray that our hearts will be open to your word. And may the Spirit of God again have his will and way in our minds and our hearts today as we look at, in your word to learn more about you. Help those that are sick, those that are not able to be with us today, bless them. Help those, Lord, that are traveling, keep them safe. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. First of all, I'd say that for the last 9 weeks, we've been talking about the apostles. We talked about 8 of them. Today, I feel led to go to a different direction, the first Sunday of September. And, you know, I've been wrestling with this for weeks, really. That's what God would have me to do, what he would have us to study. This is something that's on my heart, and I trust it to be on yours, too. I know it is. But I'm thankful, first of all, I'm an American. I'm thankful that I was born and raised in this country. I really am. I don't know anywhere else in the world I would like to be born rather than where I was born at. And I'm thankful for this place that we have to live in. I know and you know America's not what it used to be, but I still think it's the greatest place to be in the world. There's been a lot of change in the last 25, 30 years. Those of you that at least that old, you know. But I'm thankful today to know that God is in control. You know, we have to do what we can do. All we can do is pray and try to be what we ought to be as Christians and do what God wants us to do. Outside of that, it's all in God's hands, folks, what happens in this country in which we live in. But I'm glad today to know that, you know, God, he is in control, and God is going to take care of his people. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of me. And there's nothing that is going to harm us. There's some things that may redirect us in our lives as children of God. But God doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to help us in every situation we have to face in our life. No matter, it may be seem like a tragedy to us, but to God, you know, it's directing us. It's helping us. It's trying to improve us in our lives. And so, I'm glad today to know this, and I want today to, if you will, first of all, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 13. I said there's a lot of problems in this country which we live in. As we look at the problems, we all have, quote, solutions, don't we? In other words, we all have our own remedies, so to speak. But as we look at our problems today in America, in the place we live as, I want us today to look at what the Word of God says about problems and about where we live and all this. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 15, the Bible says this, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is what?
Hard.
Transgressors are people that break the law, right? The law of God. When we don't obey the word of God, the law of God, it's going to be hard. As an individual, for an individual, for a nation, for people in general, it's going to be hard. The Bible says also, good understanding giveth favor. Good understanding giveth favor. When we understand who God is, he's our creator, he's our redeemer, he's our sustainer. When we understand who God is, he's one who loves us, first of all. He wants to be our savior, he wants to be our creator, redeemer and all that. But when he becomes our redeemer and all that, we understand now I have a responsibility as an individual to keep good understanding between me and God. Fellowship, favor, if you please. I believe with all my heart the Bible teaches us that favor with God himself, between me and God, is the very foundation, or the fountain, I should say, of happiness in this life. There's a lot of things in this world that make us happy, isn't there? But most of them is just temporarily. It may last a few hours, may last a few days, may last a few weeks, or maybe a year. But sooner or later, that happiness is going to wear off. But the very fact that we have a relationship with God himself, we know him personally, this is favor we have. The favor we have with God is going to help us to be happy, to be happy. You've heard, and I've said this many times, if my relationship is not right between me and God, my relationship between anybody else on this earth won't be right. Yeah, I have to be right with God. I believe also, if I'm going to be happy, I mean really happy in my life, I don't mean hilariously happy, okay? But I mean just happy generally, enjoy life. If I'm going to be happy in my life, I have to have favor with God. As a believer, I have to be in fellowship with God. As an unbeliever, I have to have a relationship with God to be happy in this world in which we live. God didn't put us here to be unhappy. He put us here to enjoy life, enjoy him, enjoy people around us, and all that. And that's the only way it's going to happen, folks, is to have favor with God. Favor with God is knowing him, knowing him. Now, we have a problem in the world today. Unbelievers think believers are the problem today. Believers think unbelievers are the problem today in the world. And you know, both of us are right to an extent. But we have to recognize also that both of us are wrong. Because both of us are problems in this world today in which we live. There are many problems we face in this world today. We see that economy is failing. It takes more to buy less, doesn't it? More and more to buy less and less that we get. Economy is failing in our country today. We see also we have an explosion as far as a race problem. It's coming up to a head, a race problem in the world which we live in. We also see today we have crime is out of control, isn't it? And we find there's crime taking place in the world today. We also see that our government leaders are corrupt. 99.9% of them are corrupt. They don't need to be where they are, but they are where they are by the grace of God. We also see that we have threats nearly every day on terrorists attacking our country, somewhere or another, somebody setting off a bomb and destroying somebody on purpose, thinking they're doing, quote, their God a favor. So we face two choices coming up in November, the bad and the worst for president. We don't have a choice, really, but we have to make a choice as a believer. We have to vote. We need to vote, okay? It's between the bad and the worst. But that's where we are today in a country in which we live in. We also see that Planned Parenthood is selling parts now to babies. We see also today that we have legalized same-sex marriage. And our, quote, vice president performed one not too long ago between two men, a marriage. I mean, I never thought that I would live today that I would see such corruption as there is in the world today. These are our problems we're facing, folks, in the world. And we see here that the transgender problem we're dealing with, my, that is so sickening to me. It's literally sickening. It just makes me sick on my stomach when I hear about this kind of stuff taking place in our country today. But that's where we are today. Islam is taught in public schools, but Christianity is banned. You can't teach it in public schools no more. No, you can't do it. We see that conservative fundamental churches today are literally dwindling in attendance. They're going out. But also, these seeker-friendly assemblies are growing And also is the loudness of their music. They're growing all over this country today. The charismatic, not the charismatic, but the other people that don't have no standards and all this. We see there are problems are many in the world today, aren't they? But as we look at our problems, let's don't focus on our problems today, okay, so much. But let's look at today the cause. Why do we have all these problems in the world today? Why do we have all these problems in the world today? There's a universal reason why we have these problems in America, of course, all over the world. That reason is, that cause is sin. S-I-N. S-I-N. The Bible says the way of the transgressors is hard. It's hard. That's why we have so much hardness in the world today. That's why it seems like it's harder and harder to want to live in this world today, because of sin. Because of all these problems. These problems are caused by sin. Sin has filled our society, folks. It has permeated our society today in which we live. Sin has. We see it on every hand. So that sin has corrupted everybody. Most of our leaders especially are corrupt today. We see. We see also in the, turn over to chapter 14 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. I got a new Bible here and I'm trying to get the pages here. Look at verse number, chapter 14 and look at verse number 34. 14:34. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth who? But what? Sin is a reproach. Okay? Sin is a reproach to any people. We see here, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. Sin is hard. It's hard, folks. It's hard. Transgressions are hard in the world in which we live today. We see, good old America today is not God-fearing America. Good old America is not God-fearing America like it used to be years ago. It's not the same. We see we have banned the Bible from the schools in the 60s. We see since 1970s, we see there literally have been millions of babies aborted. That's sin. That's sin. We also see that in the 80s and 90s, materialism took the place of morality. Materialism. We live in a materialistic society today. People want to get. We're never satisfied. We're never content with what we have. It's always a getting process. If you don't believe it, look at the houses we're building today. Double garages, where's the cars at? They're outside. They got the house full and the garages full of stuff they don't need. They never use it. You know, that's where we are, folks. We're materialistic people. We love material things in this world. Literally, it has become a god to us. The liberals are applauding today, but we see the conservatives are sleeping. We're sleeping. We don't want to believe what we see, but it's there, folks. It's there. It's there. We see there's problems with wickedness in the heart of man today. We're wicked. The real cause to all this lies, folks, listen, at the church door. The church door. The church cannot go without accountability for the world and the situation it's in today, folks. It can't go without accountability. We're responsible. We're responsible, you see. When things go wrong, listen, we are to be the salt and the light of the world, right, as Christians. When things go wrong in a society, it is God's intention that the people, His people, call the sin and the sinner and recognize them and tell them what's going on in their life. See, that's God. It's our responsibility as Christians to stand up against sin when it's out there. And whenever it's in front of us, we see. The problem is huge, folks, that we're dealing with. It's very huge today, we see. And we need godly, spirit-filled men and women to take a stand today for God. And the only people that's going to do that is going to be you. It's going to be each one of us to stand for this things that we need to stand for today. Wickedness is not going to correct itself. It never has and never will. It will not correct itself. This is the job of bold, God-fearing believers to take stands. Take stands. Sometimes it's hard to stand. We need to stand, folks. We need to stand. There are things we need to stand on all the time in our life. We've lost our savor, so to speak. I don't mean Jesus Christ, but we've lost our light. Our light has grown dim. The flavor, if you want to call it, the quality of the Christian life has gone downhill. And the world is looking and laughing at us because we're not standing and doing what we ought to be doing. We need to stand, folks. We need to stand against sin. The problem is not the corruption in Washington, but it is the complacency in the church today. We have become, what is the word? Content. I'm in my comfort zone and don't get me out. Okay? Don't bother me. You know? And this is where we are. We seem to forget that the real solution to sins in this world is the Word of God. That's the whole solution, is the Word of God. When the Word of God is taught, when the Word of God is preached, we find sinners break down and God convicts them and they come to Christ when the Word of God is preached. See, it's the Word of God that does it, not us. See, that helps us with our problems, you see. We need a revived church, folks. We need a revived church. I need to be revived. Do you? I do. I need to be awakened to reality. What's going on? Let's don't be asleep. Let's wake up, you see. Corruption in the government, listen to what I'm saying. Corruption in the government is not an indication that we need revival, folks. Did you hear me? Corruption in the government is not an indication that we need revival. The dead cannot be revived, folks. That's the government, okay? They're unregenerated. They're lost. They can't be revived. They had to be regenerated, you see. But God's people, me, you, we need revival. We need a change. We need an awakening in our lives. That's what's taking place in our life and in the world today. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 85. Psalms 85. The psalmist is writing this psalm here. He's writing here as Israel is returning from captivity for 70 years in bondage. Israel has lost their homes, has lost a lot of things. They're in a mess, they're in a fix. And the psalmist here, as God has always had, seemed like a man, to take a place and try to be an intercessor, if you please, between man and God. Between man and God. Here's a nation, Israel, is in big trouble. We see here this Psalm 85 is a picture, if you please, of the reunion between God and man. Between God and man. Man has got away from God, and now God is trying to get that back together. We see here in Psalm 85, I want to begin reading verse number 1. As the psalmist is writing here, let's look what he says here in Psalm 85 here. Verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Speaking about Israel. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob, Israel. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Salah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. We see in these first three verses here what God has done in the past for a land, for his people. This is the past, what he's done. He's been favorable to them, even though they were sinners, they did wrong. He was favorable to them in that time when they were in that sin like they did here, we see here. This right here is this was directed by God's people to their God. God's people to their God. God's people is speaking to their God. Now look at verse number 4. He says, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. He says, what? Turn us. Turn us, God. We need to be turned. Folks, we need to be turned today. We need to be turned. He says, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Do you ever feel like God is against you? Do you ever feel like God is against us as an American people? We probably have the tendency to sometimes because of things that are taking place in the world today. Why in the world does God allow this? We don't understand, do we? But the psalmist here is right. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and call thine anger toward us to cease. Verse number 5. Notice he says two things here. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? God, are you going to be angry with us forever as a nation? God, are you going to be angry with America forever? Are you going to ever, you going to be angry? Won't you help us, God, to turn us? Notice he says, wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Is your anger, God, going to go through all our children, down through all the generations? God, why are you so angry with us? Why are you angry with us? They're saying here, but notice number 6. The psalmist says, wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not revive us again? He says, notice that thy people may rejoice in thee. That thy people may rejoice in thee. He says, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? And then he asked the question again, wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not revive us again? How many of you here has really experienced in your life and seen a revival? Raise your hand. Just a few. I can say honestly, I have never seen a real revival. I've seen spurts, okay, if you want to call it that, 2 or 3 days. But I'm talking about a real revival. I've never seen one. You know, I think we ought to be praying, as a church, we ought to be praying that prayer right there in verse number 6. Verse number 6, know what it says, wilt thou not revive us again? We need revival. We need help from God. And the only way we're going to get help from God, we're going to have to ask it. We're going to have to beg Him. Literally beg Him. I said many years ago, I heard somebody say, and I agree, I'm afraid there's going to come a day in my life and your life as Jesus tarries His coming. If this world keeps on like it is, that we're going to literally be begging God to come. Begging Him to come to get us out of this place that we live in. Because it's so sinful and ungodly. May the Lord help us, folks, today as we look at this. We know the world is filled with sinners, aren't they? You go out and try to knock on doors and witness to people. You're going to find that people don't realize they're lost. Don't realize they're sinners. If you get the chance to open the Word of God and give the Romans Road or the Scriptures to them and share them the Scriptures to them, most of them still don't believe they're sinners. They don't see they have a need in their life. So first of all, there's a conflict. Their world is full of sinners and people don't realize they're sinners. You know why? Primarily because they're not sitting under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God, by the Spirit of God, causes an individual to realize they are sinners and they are lost and they need to be saved. That's the only thing that does that. It's the Word of God. And it has to be a continuous thing, too. It's not a one-time thing most time that people get saved by hearing they're sinners. We also see, on the other hand, there are believers like us. We're ones also that are refusing the fact. There's things in my life that had not to be in my life that I could be the Christian that God wants me to be. Amen? Amen. So we've got lost people over here that are sinners, don't think they're sinners, okay? Don't need to be saved. We've got believers over here on this side, they don't think they're sinners. Everything's okay. Therefore, how in the world is God going to bring all this thing together? Listen, it's only God that can do it. Only God that can do it. First of all, these people have to realize who they are. We as believers have to realize who we are. We may be saved, but we're still sinners, aren't we? We're saved sinners. And there are things in our lives that hadn't ought to be many times. And if I'm going to have fellowship with God, if I'm going to have favor with God, if I'm going to be happy with God in my life, I have to deal with that. I have to deal with this sin in my life. These people here lost, they have to deal with sin in their lives, right? To have happiness, have favor with God. So here we are today as a church. We have accommodated the problem of sin rather than condemning it. We're accepting it as this is the way it is today. You know, I've heard people say so many times, and it just bothers me when people that know better, they live together, they're not married, and then you say, this is wrong. You say, well, that's just the way it is today. No, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. It may be the way some people live, but it's not right. It's not of God. It's sin. And they're gonna pay the consequences of it when they do it too. You know? It's not me saying that. That's God. That's God's word. That's God's word. See, we have become accustomed to things like that go on in our life day after day after day after day. And we have become accustomed to it. We have accommodated it. And we see the world's policies have affected our thinking, folks. We're listening too much to the world and not enough to God's word. We're not in God's word like we ought to be. The church is to come out from among the world. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 24. He tells us we're to come out from the world and be separate from the world. And then he'll be our God, and we can be his people. And he'll bless us. That's what he tells us in these verses, you see. So we see today there's a lack of holiness in the world, in our church today, in the world today. See, we're living in a, if you want to call it a cesspool of sin, we've lived in it so long that we don't even smell it. We don't even smell it. We don't see it. It's become a norm, has it not? Has it not? It's become a norm to us, folks. And we realize because of this, we're where we are today. We have the problems we have because of sin. Because of sin. That's where we are today. And God help us. God help us today. We have people that are attending the church, but the church is not attending the people. We see that Christians are reading the Bible, but they're missing the words. They're just reading it to read it. They're not getting the words. They're not following. They're trying to do it so fast to say, I've done it, that they don't want to do it slow enough to get what God wants from it, for us. We're missing it. We're missing it. If we hear the Word of God, we're not moved by it no more. We're not moved by it no more. You know, Peter preached 3,000 the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. He preached one sermon. Someone said, today it takes 3,000 sermons to touch one person a day. That's about right. That's about right. Because we've gone cold as believers, as people in the world today, because of the society we live in, you see. Spurgeon said this. He said, if believers are grieved at all over their sin, it's with a half-broken heart. A half-broken heart. Not completely broken, but half-broken. Okay, God, I'll give in a little bit, but I'm not going to give my heart. You know, I'll give up this, but I'm not going to give up that. You know, I'm still going to hang on to this sin. I'll let this one go, but I'm going to hang on to this one. You know, that's the way we are today in the world in which we live. I know y'all think I'm being very mean and hard. I'm not. I'm just trying to help us to see where we are, folks, today. Where we are as Christians, where we are as believers. Why lost people ain't getting saved? Why Christians aren't getting right with God? There's a problem here, folks, and it's on both sides. We can blame the lost people, or the lost people can blame us, but we're all guilty. We're all at fault. We're all at fault. It's why the world is the way it is today. We need revival in the church house in order to restore the White House. It has to be in the church, you see. There's a great deal of idle, foolish talk today instead of prayer and fellowship with the Lord. You know as well as I do that the media today, internet, smartphones, and all this garbage that's out there today, a lot of people spend more time on that kind of stuff and put it in their mind. It's garbage, folks. It'll destroy you. Amen. I've said this before. Those of you that have children who went to camp for a week, they were not close to that stuff. They come home. How did they come home? Better children, I guarantee you, than where they went, when they went. But what's happened? They come back and they're getting back into it again, filling their minds with garbage from the world. Listen, Satan wants to use that to destroy us. He wants to use that to take us away from God and God's Word, folks. The most important thing we have in this world today as believers is this book. This is the only thing that's going to help us and keep us doing what we ought to do, folks. It really is. We need to pray. We need to ask God to help us. You see, we have problems, but the cause is sin. It's sin for the unbeliever and for the believers. We all need God. We all need a touch of God. We need revival. We need revival, folks. We really do. When you hear the word revival, what does it mean to you? How does it affect you? Revival. You know, like I said, I've never really experienced a real revival in my own life. But when I hear about a revival, about a revival taking place or a revival going on somewhere, when you hear the word revival, does it bore you? Are you bored with the term revival as an individual? I know what it means, you might say, but it doesn't move me. Okay? It doesn't move me. I think of it as in terms of just being emotional. Somebody just being emotional. That's revival. When you hear the word revival, does it baffle you? In other words, maybe you've been praying for a long time for revival and it seems like nothing is happening. You know, you've been praying for somebody, God, to save somebody, something to take place, and it hasn't happened. And the need among God's people is tremendous, folks. We need help. When you hear the word revival, are you blessed by it? Maybe you've been reading about bibliographies of men that used to preach and revivals come. Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, and all these people. Read about revivals that took place in their lives. Man, that'll excite you. It really will encourage you. In the Lord, when you hear revival, are you burdened about it? Are you burdened about it? You know, there's no solution except God. The only solution to the problems in this world today, folks, is God. He's the only one. He's the only solution we have. He's the only help we have, folks, is God. You see, there's no human program, plan, or policy in the world today that can meet the church's need today. The need is so great. It's so big. Today. Only God, only God, only God by His Spirit can change the tide of godlessness and unrighteousness and God's people be turned back to God. Only God can do it. Just like only God can save a sinner. Only God can change the world in which we live in today. He can do it. Now, the question is this, are we begging for revival? Are we begging for revival? Are we pleading for revival? Oh, may God help us. The desire for revival must find expression in prayer. Praying for revival. Without prayer, what's going to happen? Dryness will continue in the land in which we live, and barrenness will continue also. No more fruit. We have to pray. We have to pray. I believe everything that's accomplished in this world, as far as a Christian is concerned, only comes by praying. Praying. That's the whole key. Now, quickly turn to Psalm 139. 139. What can I do? What can you do as believers to help this sin problem we have in the world today? I'll be first of all, I need a self-examination of my own life. I need to examine my own life, my own self, okay? You know, I look at Noah, his life. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, didn't he? Noah obeyed God. He did what God wanted him to do. And Noah's family was saved because of it. Amen? He did exactly what God wanted him to do. He obeyed him. No doubt he was mocked. He was made fun of and all this, but I guarantee you, when Noah was working on that ark, doing what he was doing for God, I guarantee you him and his family were happy because they were doing what God wanted them to do. And I guarantee you when they went in that ark, God let them in that ark, and God shut that door, Noah and his family rejoiced in the Lord. Why? Because they did what God warned them to do. Obedience is the key to being happy in the Lord. Obedience to God. Now, we see here in Psalm 139, the omniscience of God. What God knows about you, what God knows about me. First of all, we find in the first three verses, we see, O Lord, thou hast searched me and what? Known me. Lord, you've searched me and you know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Listen, there's nothing that God don't know about you. Nothing. And the greatest blessing in the world is the fact that nobody knows you like God knows you. Amen? He knows us. He knows everything about us, our downs and ups. He knows all about me. I have to recognize that as God's children today. Notice also, look at verse number 15 and verse 16. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thine book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them, or what days they should have been fashioned. Notice here, we see here in these verses that God sees all that I do. There's not one thing I do he don't see. Nothing that I do he doesn't see. Where I go, he sees it. Everything I do, he sees it. He has an all-seeing eye. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. He says, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The Lord hears all that I say. All that I say. I can't get away from God. You know, that ought to be a blessing. It ought to be a blessing to us to realize that no matter where I go, God knows where I'm at. No matter what I say, he knows what I say. No matter what I do, he knows all about me. He knows all about me. That should help us to be accountable as a believer, especially, to know that the one who saved us knows all about us. And we're accountable to him. We're accountable to him. We also see in verse 17 and verse 18, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. I am still with thee. We see here in these verses, the Lord thinks of me. He thinks about me. We find in John 17, that he prays for us. But we find here in this passage, the psalmist tells us that the Lord thinks about you. He thinks about you every day. There's not a day goes by that you're not on God's mind. He thinks about you. He thinks about you. We're talking about the omniscience of God. And when we look at the omniscience of God, in regard to where we are today, what we need to do today as believers, we must realize that if I don't do nothing, God still knows all about me. I can't hide my sin from God. He knows all about it. I can't hide it. We also see in verse 5, we see here, Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. We see here, the Lord protects me by his hand. Verse number 10, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. See, we're protected by the hand of God. And then we find in verse number 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my remembrance were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. We see here the Lord leads me in his will. He'll lead me in his will if I ask him to. And last but not least, verse 23 and verse 24 in this passage. This should be our prayer, folks, as believers. 23 and verse 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. God, search me and know my heart. He says, try me. Try me. Try me. and know my thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts. Boy, that's strong words, folks. That's strong words to say to God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Notice it says, why? And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, if there's anything wicked in my life, reveal it to me. Show me. Search me. Try me. Let me know, God, if there's something wicked in me, something that shouldn't be in my life. Let me know. I want to know, he says. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. Folks, we live in a troubled world. A lot of problems. It all stems from sin. And may we as God's people, realize that we're accountable. We're accountable. And may God help us to search our hearts and ask Him to search us. See, I don't want to be a hindrance to anything. I want to be a help any way I can. And may God help us to realize today that only by God's grace can we be what God wants us to be. The favor of God brings happiness. It's the fountain of happiness in our lives as Christians. Knowing I'm right with God, I'm in fellowship with Him, me and Him, walk together, we have conversation together, we live together. That's the most happy life in the world, is to be walking where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. It really is. May the Lord help us today as we search our own lives, our own hearts. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. When you pray for your leaders, pray that God will save them. They need to be saved. Okay? And pray for one another, that God would help us all be what we ought to be, that this nation might turn back to God. That's my prayer. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, we realize sometimes it's quick and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword. Yet, Lord, we need to hear from you. And God, we need to realize, Lord, we are accountable too. We just can't point our fingers at other people, but Lord, we are accountable for the world we live in today. And God, I just pray you'd help us as your children, Lord, to humble ourselves before you, seek your face. God, and turn from our sins, our wicked ways. And God, that you might forgive our sins and heal our land. God, we need you, God. We need your help in this world in which we live. And God, I just pray you'd help us do our part, be what we ought to be. Lord, that this world might see Christ, might see the light of Christ in us as we go out into this world. Father, bless your people now. Encourage them. Help us, Lord, daily to walk with you and live for you. Bless the service now. We're about to go into. Have your will and way. Save that one that might be lost today, and encourage your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.